for invasion. This is Indie Invasion. The dangers of undue alchemancy. From down the long tunnel, Fagin could hear Nancy shouting. Her words were interspersed with expletives, blasts of alchemantic energy, and shattering glass. He could not make sense of what she was exclaiming, the echoes of the dank sewers turning the sounds into a reverberating mess of anger and noise. Looking up from his work, he saw a small gaggle of Erkin run past his door. Most of them liberally spattered with both liquids of uncertain origin and glass. Carefully, he laid the pocket watch down and removed the intricate loop from his eye. Oddly, Dodger had broken this watch. A Sayer and Saynor court chronograph, no less, when he lifted it from its previous owner. The lad claimed the mark was armed with a pistol, but to Fagin, that was no excuse. He had trained Dodger to take more care than that. The repairs must wait, however. Fagin stood and stretched, his old joints cracking as he rose. Once he was moving, the old man was as nimble as ever, but those first few steps always gave him jip, especially in the damp and fetid sewers that had now become his home. He knew that Nancy, once angered, was a force to behold, and he also knew that should she find a reason to involve Bill in the affair, things might get hairy indeed. Separately, the two of them could be managed. Even bent to Fagin's will with careful manipulation, but once they banded together, the old man stood no chance against their combined bloody-mindedness and pure ferocity of spirit. He needed to get to Nancy and placate her quickly before whatever the source of her upset became too big an issue to be forestalled. Moving quickly down the wide corridor, Fagin noted the Erkin barracks were empty. Bill had sent many of them up top last night. The cursed servants of the engine were about. Fagin had lost many lads to them. As demented as the Erkin were, they were still his lads, and he wished them no harm if it could be avoided. Nancy's work was becoming a definite problem as she wrought ever more vile and loathsome changes on each new batch of children that came under her care. He knew that he must try to keep Nancy unaware of his concerns. If she was to be foiled, he would need to make it seem as though he was her obedient servant. Whilst Fagin hoped to stop, or at least slow, the progression of her research, he also needed to try and find ways to reverse the effects of it. Should he be detected in this work, he knew that he would very quickly find himself on the receiving end of Bill's ire, and more importantly, the business end of his gun. Or perhaps, worse still, the attentions of Nancy would be brought to bear, and he had seen where that ended up for Sourberry the Undertaker. The quiet hum of Dodger's motor broke Fagin's train of thought as the young pickpocket idled up beside him. "What's up, Gov?" he asked in his typically jaunty manner. "Nancy's having a rough day by the sound of it, me love," Fagin replied, nodding his head towards the large brass portal a short distance on, the door that led into Nancy's laboratories. "Lord, not again. I remember last time." Dodger's voice trailed off as Fagin nodded. The trail of carnage that laid waste to the west end of Carver Lane was still the subject of investigation by the Peelers, and if there was one thing Fagin liked even less than trouble with Nancy, it was trouble with the Peelers. They were like a pack of foxhounds, and once they caught the scent of an old rogue like Fagin, he knew that they'd not stop until he was well and truly run to ground. All this fuss up top of late was certainly attracting them, along with those damnably annoying steel bobbies. Arriving at the doorway, Fagin peered carefully inside to see Nancy leaning over her workbench, a pile of books, each open and in a seeming jumble, were the focus of her attention. She seemed calmer somehow, and was quickly reading passages from one volume before flinging it aside to leaf through another, all the time muttering to herself. At her feet lay an Erkin, too terrified to move, as the elegant brass tentacles emanating from under Nancy's skirts gently caressed him in a strangely tender yet threatening fashion. "Excuse me, Nance," started Fagin, clearing his throat slightly. "Can I assist you in some fashion or other? I happened to note you was in a state of upset before." "Ah, Fagin." The voice of the alchemancer was smooth and sweet, belying the malice behind her eyes as she turned and regarded the ragged figure at her door. "I seem to have reached an impasse of sorts," she continued. "I need certain information to continue my work, and I am afraid the volumes your lads gathered last night do not contain the tome I am most in need of." Every word Nancy spoke contained behind it a threat like a dagger. She moved, gliding closer, moving strangely, silently, over the broken glass and shattered alchemantic vessels that had been the subject of her frustration and rage moments earlier. Her hard, cold countenance focused on Fagin, who felt any courage he had begin to melt away like horse muck in a rainstorm. "Be a dear and find me a copy of Howman's Alchemantic Index, would you?" she said, hiding a threat behind the merest veil of politeness. "I'm sure Bill would be most displeased to hear you failed me twice in 1 week."
Thanks, guys, for listening to today's tales. You can find our Indie Invasion podcast on all podcast platforms, including Podbean, Google, and iTunes. And please visit us on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, and if you can, support us on Patreon/Indie Invasion. And feel free to email us with any questions or comments at indieinvasion@gmail.com. And remember, guys, don't forget to prepare yourself for the invasion.